We have been waiting 4.5 months to say this, but welcome back. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly. More importantly, welcome back to Pacers basketball, Fever basketball too. In fact, the Fever tip-off tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll have more details on that coming up throughout this show. The Indiana Pacers are one scrimmage down, two to go before they tip off their season. Coming up very shortly, in fact, just a week from today at 7 o'clock at versus Philadelphia. 8 seeding games remaining in the regular season, and then the Pacers will take part in the playoffs. They have already locked themselves into playoff position. They are clinched. We don't know exactly what seed they will be, likely 4, 5, or 6, but the Pacers know they will have games beyond those 8 out in Orlando. You can catch all of those once the regular season restarts right here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM, and on Fox Sports Indiana as well. The final two scrimmage games we are streaming on Pacers.com. If you are listening to this show on the radio, Pacers Weekly here on the radio, it means you are within the radius to be able to stream that game on Pacers.com. So the final two scrimmages, Sunday and Tuesday, you can catch the Pacers in action before the games start to count from the bubble in Orlando. I'm Pat Boylan. We welcome you back to Pacers Weekly. It's so good to be back. The last time the Pacers were in action was on March 10th, and we have an absolutely loaded show for you this week. One of the best I think we have ever had. In fact, maybe even the best. You're going to hear from the broadcasters. Mark Boyle, Chris Denari check in. Jeremiah Johnson will be joining us a little bit later in this show live as well. Mark Monteith will keep you up to date on everything happening over on Pacers.com, Pacers digital and social media. We are going to also check in with Pacers head coach Nate McMillan, who joined Mark Boyle from the bubble. We're going to hear from Chad Buchanan as well. Pacers general manager will give his insight. He's also down there in Orlando. Pacers sports and entertainment president and COO Rick Fewson will stop by in the next hour. And we will be joined by the legend, Tamika Catchings, who's now the VP of basketball operations. She's running the Indiana Fever on the basketball side. She is down in the WNBA bubble, which is in Bradenton, Florida at the IMG Academy, not too far away from Orlando. The Fever are simultaneously gearing up for the WNBA season, which we mentioned again begins tonight, 5 o'clock. You can catch nearly every game this year streamed on feverbasketball.com. There's one on ESPN as well, but we will be there with you for nearly the entirety of the season. Home or away, feverbasketball.com. And Tamika Catchings gives us an update on where the Fever stand coming up in the next hour. We would love to hear from you as well. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. If you are new to this show, we welcome you in. We are, of course, normally not coming to you in July, but exciting to be back and having Pacers Weekly here in late July. If you are one of our regulars that listen weekly, we thank you. We welcome you back. And you know that we typically start off this show with a conversation with Pacers head coach. No different this week. When we return, it's Nate McMillan with Mark Boyle. That's coming up next. Pacers basketball, Pacers Weekly is back on 1070 The Fan. Pacers Weekly returns, 107.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Thank you for joining us. A special shout out to our PR staff, who is both simultaneously here in Indianapolis and have boots on the ground in Florida as well. They have helped us wrangle these interviews this week, which of course are in a new and unusual environment. And we start things off with Pacers head coach Nate McMillan. His conversation with Mark Boyle is now.
Thanks, Pat. This might seem a bit of an odd question since, Nate, I don't imagine you knew what to expect on any level when you left Indianapolis a couple of weeks back. But given that perspective, has it been any different, better, worse than you expected down there in Orlando?
Well, actually, it's been better. You know, well, not better. I think, you know, it's you thought that it's going to be really difficult being isolated for, you know, the first 48 hours and then, you know, being in this bubble for, you know, supposedly up to possibly 3 months. But it's been okay. You know, our guys, we've adjusted, we've gotten acclimated to our surroundings and what the bubble was like. And, you know, we had our first scrimmage game yesterday. And I thought it was good that we were able to play a game yesterday because guys were starting to, I think, feel a little isolated, you know, all the fishing and and cornhole and movies and all the things that we were doing down here, they was ready for a game.
We'll get to that scrimmage in a minute, but I'm curious as to this. Other than the obvious, you're isolated, things are totally different. From the day-to-day perspective of coaching a team, do you do anything differently to accommodate the situation?
Well, it is different. You know, every day we have to get up in the morning and we have to, you know, go and you know, take our temperature, check in with our apps and, record our temperature and pressure and all of that. And then we have to go down and get testing every day. That has to be done before certain times so that they could get your results back tomorrow. And if you test positive or you come up positive, they will have someone at your room to make sure that you stay in your room until they can, you know, figure out what's going on. So it's, those are the first things that we do before we even start our day and start to work on basketball. So it is a different routine. You have to make sure that you are healthy and you're not showing up positive. And then we start our day with our preparation. You know, the other difference is we practice different times a day. You know, one day it might be 9 o'clock, the next day it could be 3. Today it's at 6, it's from 6 to 9. So you are constantly, changing your routine as far as when you eat, when you're getting up, you don't have that same routine that you normally would have during a typical NBA season because everything is pretty much, it starts the same time.
You mentioned, Nate, that you had that scrimmage the other day. Now, you already know your team, injuries aside, which you're accounting for. So is it really more about getting acclimated to the facility, understanding the differences and the nuances that come into play that wouldn't if you were in a normal schedule, more so than it is about evaluating your team?
Yeah, that first scrimmage was really all about that. You know, those guys, that it was the first time they had an opportunity to see and play in the building that they're going to be playing in during this restart. The court and the design of the arenas, the locker rooms, and your warm-up period, all of that. You know, those guys had to get acclimated to that. You know, we have our second scrimmage game on Sunday, and it'll be, you know, pretty much more of that. You know, we have to basically give a roster, but we also have to seek players on the bench in a certain place. They can't change seating when they are coming in and out of the games. So all of that they had to, get familiar with, get acclimated to, and it'll be pretty much more of the same on Sunday. But the difference in our first scrimmage game and Sunday's game, it will be a 48-minute game. We played a 40-minute game, which was really quick, pretty much an international style of play. But we will go back to our regular 48-minute game on Sunday.
Let's close, to the extent that we can, with an injury update. Victor Oladipo played in that first scrimmage. Are you becoming more encouraged that he might be available once the games count?
Yeah, well, we're taking it, day by day. And, you know, Victor wants to get into the practices. He wants to play in some of these scrimmage games and see where he's at and what he feels like. We knew that this restart was going to be a challenge for all players. And, you know, we have some players on our team and other teams that they have some injuries because of all of a sudden, you know, these guys have started to work hard again to get themselves ready. You know, Domas is kind of going through that with his foot injury. All of a sudden, you start to get back to pounding and going hard, and you have these injuries, and you know that's what Victor and all the other players are looking at. So, you know, he'll continue. You know, he came out of the game last night. Everything was okay. I haven't gotten a report that anything happened, you know, any swelling or soreness occurred or came from that game last night. And we'll see how he feels tomorrow in practice. You know, the plan is for him to continue to go through the practices and, you know, get him ready to play in these games. And we'll make that decision when we have to come to that far as the restart.
You touched on the Domantas Sabonis injury. Miles Turner wasn't available either in that first scrimmage. Any update on either of those guys?
Well, Miles is closer than Domas. Miles, he actually did a little running in our last practice and just didn't feel he was ready to go. So tomorrow, we're taking today off, and tomorrow he will practice and get, you know, hopefully be ready for Sunday's game. Domas right now is not available. He's not practicing. We're going to give him some time off with his foot, where he just, you know, we don't want him to do any type of pounding on that foot for, you know, some days here. And so he will not be available for Sunday's game. We're hoping that Miles will be. Goga is pretty much in the same situation as Domas. He did a little running our last practice, but I don't anticipate him being ready for Sunday's scrimmage game.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he does on a regular basis here on Pacers Weekly. Always a pleasure, Nate. Thanks for the visit. Stay safe down there.
Okay, Mark. Thank you.
All right, again, a thank you to Nate McMillan for joining us this week, and Mark Boyle, who will rejoin this show a little bit later. If you want to gear up and update your Pacers look, PacersTeamStore.com is available online for deliveries or curbside pickup. PacersTeamStore.com, check out the new Pacers gear as you get geared up for the Pacers restart. We've heard from radio play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle. When we return, it's time to check in with TV voice Chris Denari. Inside Denari's Den this week is Pacers Sports and Entertainment President and COO Rick Fuson. That's next. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. We are live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Pacers will take the floor again on Sunday. That's this Sunday at 4 p.m. for scrimmage number 2. Pacers.com is where you can view that. It will be streamed. Chris Denari and Quinn Buckner will be on the call. Chris Denari joins us now. We go inside Denari's Den.
Thanks a lot, Pat. It's been some time since we've gone inside Denari's Den. It's been almost 4 months, and we're going inside Denari's Den today with Rick Fuson, the president and chief operating officer of Pacers Sports and Entertainment. Rick, already a return to basketball. The Pacers won scrimmage in the books in Orlando. Later today, the Fever, the first of 22 games in Bradenton, Florida. It's a return. We've had to battle COVID-19, and finally, basketball back to play.
Yeah, we're excited about that. Think about it. You're just not practicing. You're actually playing scrimmage game and the women playing later, in a real start of the season. You know, 22 games for the women, eight games and three scrimmages for the men, plus the playoffs. We're really excited to see it back, even though we'd love to be smelling the popcorn cooking inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It's going to be good to see them on TV.
But at the same time, Rick, you guys have been busy. I know the offices have not totally opened, but you're back in the office. Mel Raines from your staff, the facilities, the field house of the future, all of that has been moving along during this time, during the COVID time, right?
Yeah, you know, we're learning a lot of different things. You know, we're in a live event business, so we're used to seeing our employees here and used to seeing the part-timers come in and all the fans come in. And then, you know, we probably got shut down, one of the first groups to get shut down, in the middle of the Big Ten. And, you know, they shut down, and certainly the COVID situation with the NBA, and it gets shut down, and G League gets shut down, which we're in as well. So it was really different for all these months, not seeing people in the human form, just seeing them on the television cases. But we've worked through it. We've tried to keep our staff motivated. A lot of work's been done from home. It's a different world than it was on March 12th. And so we've had, however, a lot of people, like you say, inside the arena, Mel and her group working on the Fieldhouse of the Future. That's going very well. And at the same time, we rebuilt some offices in the St. Vincent Center, which where I sit today. So it's been a great opportunity for a lot of us to get to know each other better. To get some of our tunnel vision opened up a little bit, and as we come back to see each other on a more regular basis, I think we're going to appreciate the human spirit more than we did before.
Rick, you talk about that and about the organization, and we know what we've had to battle through with COVID-19, the pandemic, the relationship you have with the city, the mayor's office, the state, but also during this time, social justice at the forefront, not just in our city state, but of course, all over the country. And through your leadership and the organization's leadership, Herb Simon, Steve Simon, the Pacers have really taken a strong stance in a leadership role.
Well, I think it's important. Some people certainly don't agree, and I have friends that don't agree, others that will. I'm a child of the 1950s. I grew up through the 1960s, and we had some very good things happen as it relates to civil rights situation. But then I say we dropped the ball, and we didn't get a lot of things done in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And while this situation has brought us back to this moment, this is our time, second time in our generation, to try to do some good in our city and our country in terms of ridding our society of systemic racism. And I think many of our players have spoken out about that. And certainly Herb and the Simon family allows us to be as individuals and talk our way. I participated in a peaceful walk with my son and my daughter and my wife and family. And I think it was important to express our opinion. It's not about being, against anything, except it's about being the right, do the right things at the right time, and make sure that we bring justice to all, justice for all people. And we've not had that in our country for a long time. We have a lovely country. We love our country. We love our city, but it could be better.
Rick Fuson is the president, chief operating officer of Pacer Sports and Entertainment. On this Saturday morning, he's spending time inside Denary's Den. One final question, Rick, as we look ahead, and again, we have the Fever. You can watch Fever games on the Fever app, Pacers preseason games on the Pacers app. Fox Sports Indiana will have all 8 of the seeding games of the Pacers. They've got 5 Fever games. We have so much going on. I guess, what do you want to tell the fans as we get through this time and as we look ahead?
Yeah, well, I want to say thank you for all the support you've had of the Pacers and the Fever and the G League up in Fort Wayne and the Pacers Gaming. I want to say thank you for staying with us. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for loving the game of basketball. And thanks for waiting so patiently to get us back on the court. And as we say all the time, I think we're here to make you proud. I think our guys have been in camp in Florida and have been working hard, and I think they're going to make you proud. The ladies are another part of Florida will make you proud. And so I hope you'll watch, whether it's streaming across the state of Indiana, or whether it's on Fox, or whether it's on one of the national television games, or on the radio, listening to Mark Boyle and Slick Leonard. We appreciate you being fans. We appreciate you being basketball fans. We appreciate you being the people from Indiana that will show the rest of the country that basketball maybe can be the catalyst to bring us back together and get our country, which is very divided, on the same track.
Rick Fuson, the president and COO of Pacer Sports and Entertainment, joining us today on Pacers Weekly. Rick, thanks so much. Thanks for all you do in your leadership role. And I look forward to broadcasting Pacers games here over the next month plus, we hope.
We appreciate it. Good to have you back at work.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Back to you, Pat.
All right, Chris and Rick, certainly thank you. And we know everybody listening is dying to get basketball back in their lives. You got a little bit of a taste of it with that scrimmage game. And there's two more coming up Sunday and Tuesday. Again, as Chris and Rick noted, Pacers.com and the app as well is where you can catch those final two games streamed. And we know you're ready for basketball to return to your lives. Check this out. This has never happened before. From August 1st to August 15th, either the Pacers or Fever are going to play every single day for 15 straight days from August 1st to the 15th. In fact, the Fever tip off their season tonight. 5 o'clock, they're playing the defending champion Washington Mystics. The Fever have a new coach. It's Marianne Stanley, and she's a former assistant from those champion Washington Mystics. Should be a terrific one tonight. Feverbasketball.com and the app is where you can catch that game. Mark Boyle joined us earlier in the show. He rejoins us after the commercial break, this time with Pacers general manager Chad Buchanan. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Pacers Weekly is back. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Thanks for rejoining us as we get ready for our restart. At Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter, if you have any questions or comments, we will forward those over. Jeremiah Johnson and Mark Monteith going to join us live in the show a little bit later. The Pacers, of course, are in the NBA bubble in Orlando, the Fever in the WNBA bubble, which is in Bradenton, Florida, just about an hour and a half away at the IMG Academy. A little bit later in the show, we're going to check in with Vice President of Basketball Operations, Tamika Catchings. But this time, we turn it back over to Mark Boyle, back to the NBA bubble in Orlando. He is with Pacers General Manager, Chad Buchanan. Mark?
Thanks, Pat. A lot of stuff to get to here, Chad. And I want to start with this. I realize it's not an easy question to answer, but if pressed, what would you say is the biggest difference, other than the isolation factor, of being down there in that bubble compared to preparing for a regular season game?
That's a good question, Mark. I think the biggest difference is probably your daily routine, because our practice times fluctuate from day to day. So kind of a player's daily routine, you know, you've been on the road with our guys, that their future's a habit. And when your practice time fluctuates from day to day, it kind of disrupts your routine of how you, when you sleep, when you eat, when you, maybe you lift, when maybe you go get extra shots in. So I think trying to get on a little bit of a what fits each player is probably the biggest difference, I would say, of being down here. And the food's a little different, but, you know, I think we've all adjusted and the food's fine now, but, you know, it's a little different menu, maybe the variety of options is different. So, but I think we've all kind of settled in at this point. We're 2 weeks down here, and I think guys have kind of found their rhythm, and I think we're ready to go.
When everybody got on that plane to go down there, did you sense any apprehension? And if so, has that largely dissipated by now?
Yeah, I think I don't know if apprehension is the right word. I think it was just a little of unknown. You know, this is, we go on the road all the time, and this is such a different road trip that you didn't know what was going to, how it was going to play out. What was the hotel going to be like? What was the food going to be like? What was the facilities going to be like? So I think it was just a little maybe nervous of what the, you know, environment was going to be, and then throw on top of it the safety of it. And I think all of us had a lot of confidence in the NBA to build, you know, an environment where we feel safe. And once we got down here and saw the precautions and the protocols that had been installed, I think we all immediately got a comfort level very quickly that, hey, if we're going to have a chance to remain safe and play together and finish out our season, this is as good as you could put together. And we really commend the league on what they've done to create this campus down here.
A week from tonight, you start that 8-game run that ends the regular season and then leads into the playoffs. A, you know you're in the playoffs. B, home court, if it's important at all, is far less important given these circumstances than it would normally be. Does that in any way affect the way the team will approach these games?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Nate and our coaches are they've always been very business oriented. And, you know, I think our team reflects it. I was just sitting there practicing out there with Kevin Pritchard, and we talked about, you know, going through the whole roster, how business-like every player is on our team. And I think whether we're playing, you know, these seeding games or the playoff series, home or away, I think our guys approach it the same. And I get that same sense down here. I think we show up for practice every day. We're in a different facility every day for practice at a different time. You know, our settings around us are different, but I still, when once they get on the court, it's the same group that we saw all season. Very serious minded. They put their work in. They're very committed to each other. And it just feels like things picked up right where they left off from where we're at when the season shut down. But it is going to be a little different, you know, game environment down here. You don't have the home court advantage, which, you know, obviously in the playoffs is a major factor. But it's still, you're going to have to beat a really, really good team four times, whether you're playing at home or road or down here in a bubble with no fans. And I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, the team that plays the best, plays the hardest, and plays the most together is going to win. And I feel good about our team heading into whichever opponent we end up playing.
Let's go off court for a second, because while everybody has had to make a lot of really significant changes in the way they approach their jobs or even their life for that matter, in the front office with the free agency period now, different trades, different, everything's different. How difficult has it been for you and Kevin to stay pace with what you need to do to get things done?
You know, looking back when the season shut down, we were just getting ready to head into obviously the playoffs, and then that leads right into the draft and free agency. And for temporarily, we tried to stay on that same calendar, not knowing how long the hiatus was going to last. And then once you figure out, okay, the draft's going to be moved back to, you know, much later and free agency is going to follow, we kind of put a pause on that and really focused on just the health of our team and the chemistry and camaraderie of our team. But now that we have, you know, a schedule looking forward into October with the draft and free agency, you know, fortunately we don't have 9 free agents like we did last year. So we can really focus in on trying to, you know, build some continuity with this group and zero in on, you know, just a select, you know, free agent or two that, you know, that really, that we like. And for the most part, we'd like to see this team for another season. You know, we really liked where things were headed when the season shut down, and like the chemistry, the guys get along, the coaches fit with the personalities on the team. And so it's, I don't think there'll be a super busy off season, Mark. That can always change in an instant with one phone call. But I think for the most part, we've been very pleased with this group and, you know, would be content with having some continuity next season.
You know, generally speaking, when we get to this point in the season, and I don't mean July, but I mean a handful of regular season games to go, and then the playoffs, we have a pretty good idea about the landscape. There are a select few that have a chance to win a championship. You might designate one or two others as teams that could cause trouble. But because of all of the uncertainty, you've already talked about the change in routine. We don't know what kind of shape some of these guys are in from other teams. We don't know how prone they are to injury. We don't know how committed they are. We don't know anything, really. And what I'm getting at, Chad, is this. Would it be fair to say that the landscape is such that it's far more uncertain than ever? That's obvious. But that we might see some sort of a wild card happenstance here in terms of teams that might vie for championships?
I think you're spot on, Mark. I think if there was ever a situation or a season where that could take place, it feels like right now. And I think I get that sense from not only our players, but just players around the league that this is such a unique situation that really anything can happen. It's not quite March Madness because it's not a single game situation, but like you touched on, teams finding their rhythm, their conditioning, their chemistry. You've got some teams where players are not here playing. You're going to have some injury issues pop up. You might have some, you know, virus issues pop up. So there's just a lot of things that can happen that can steer, you know, things into favor of one team who's maybe, you know, not looked at as potential champion or traditional season. And I think our guys on our team feel that. They feel that, you know, this is, you know, it went from an 82 game marathon to like a 200 meter dash. And I think if the one advantage I feel like our group has is we've picked up where we left off. I think watching our first week of practice, I didn't sense that, hey, guys are rusty. They're trying to feel each other out again, find that chemistry. It felt like it was there almost instantaneously. And now if we can keep everybody healthy and on the court, that's a big part and that's a big unknown. But I think you're exactly right. This is feels like a season where if a 6-7 seed or a 4-5 seed ends up winning it, I wouldn't be that shocked. Now, obviously, there's teams that have, you know, we're playing well, you know, all season that are probably going to be more likely to be favorites down here, but it feels like there is the possibility of having somebody make a Cinderella type run this season, and I hope it's us.
Pacers general manager Chad Buchanan, kind enough to spend some time with us on this edition of Pacers Weekly. 1 week from tonight, the Pacers start that eight-game run that will determine who they face in the playoffs, and we'll have all of those broadcasts. This program will continue on a weekly basis as we go on through the regular season, and we hope for a long playoff run. Chad, always a pleasure. Thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Chad Buchanan, Pacers general manager, with radio play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle. Again, once the season starts up, you can catch radio coverage as you normally would throughout the rest of the regular season and the playoffs here in Indianapolis on 1070 and 107.5 FM. The Fever tip off their season tonight, 5 o'clock, feverbasketball.com. We check in with the legend Tamika Catchings next on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart.
Welcome back to Pacers Weekly. In just a few hours, the Indiana Fever will be tipping off their season. All games are live streamed at feverbasketball.com. If you are within 75 miles of Indianapolis, Tamika Catchings, Vice President of Basketball Operations. She's down in the bubble. I guess wubble is the correct term. She's down in the women's bubble, the wubble, and she joins us now. It's been, I'm sure, an interesting couple of weeks. Can you quickly catch us up to speed? How's everything going down there?
Well, everything is going great, Pat. Thank you. We're definitely looking forward to the game and getting, you know, just getting our season going. We got 20 this year. We get to kick off against the defending champion from last year, Washington Mystics. And, you know, it's been an interesting last 10 days, just getting back on the court, getting our practices, getting our players and new plays incorporated into our game, and the coaching staff has been phenomenal, and all the people that we have down here, all 20 of us that are down here, including the players, definitely have been something that we're looking for. We're just looking forward to the game, Pat.
And I have basketball-related questions for you, but one of the questions everybody wants to know, whether it's WNBA, NBA, any league that's doing this, what is the bubble like off the court?
The bubble life off the court, you know, it's interesting. And I was telling my mom this the other day. I said, you know, you would think that you have more time because you're in a wubble, bubble, whatever you want to call it, single site. But I feel like my day, I'm still doing a lot of Zoom calls for Pacers Sports and Entertainment and, you know, like the meal room, which is in the hotel across the street on the campus, you know, going back and forth there, getting tested, going to practice time. You know, the players have weights, they have training room time. So there's a lot going on from a player standpoint. And you know, I'll be honest, this is my first time to the IMG Academy down here in Bradenton, Florida. It's a beautiful campus. There's a lot of space. There's, you know, there's a lake, couple lakes on campus. They got golfing, they got lacrosse. I've seen some people here for lacrosse camp, soccer camp, football camp going on. You know, there's a lot of different things going on in different areas, but I keep saying it's 92 acres, although I don't know if that is correct or not, but there's a lot of space to move around. So I think players really enjoy that.
For those who maybe don't know, you've got a really condensed schedule down there, 22 games in less than 50 days, which can be a physical challenge. You've also got a young team. Do you hope that you can use that youth to your advantage?
I am definitely relying on youth for this upcoming season. I mean, obviously our leaders and Candace Dupree and Natalie Achanwa are, I don't want to say they're old, they're just kind of wiser in their years in the WNBA, but their leadership has been great. You know, for our younger players, I mean, Mary Ann, the way Coach Stanley styles, she wants to get up and down the floor. And I think that you're going to see a lot of get an opportunity to get on the court, and we'll get up and down. Our shooters are going to be spaced out. Tierra McCowan, Lauren Cox, Stephanie Mavunga, Natalie Achanwa, you know, they're all going to be down low and at the top knocking down shots. So, you know, I'm really excited about what we've been able to put together, and then, like, just the set and the way that Marianne wants to play. I think it's going to be a really fun year.
Your team has been so focused and has to be so focused on basketball, but I know everyone, including your minds, are on social justice and on racial equality and reform. Can you take us through what it's been like to experience not only you, but watching your players be so passionate about this and alongside of their basketball careers?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, kind of going back to couple months ago and really a couple weeks ago, I've lost track of time. But just seeing like Natalie Achanwa, Stephanie Mavunga in Indianapolis, Erica Wheeler back at home, you know, and all of our players, even since we've been here, having the conversation on what they want to support and where they want to use their voices and use the platform that they've had to be able to share the, you know, the thing that they want to see change. In the upcoming week, they'll have an announcement that will come out from the player's standpoint of what they're going to focus on for this year. And, you know, from an organizational standpoint, from the Indiana Fever and Pacers Sports and Entertainment, I think it's been great just being able to support our players on the Fever side and the Pacers side for all of the things and the marches and the sit-ins and, you know, just being able to be a part of history and being able to use our platform for change, not necessarily on the sideline talking about it, but actually in the game and actively trying to create change.
As a player, you helped bring a championship to Indianapolis, constant winning basketball for more than a decade. And the natural life cycle of a team, when you retired, oftentimes you'll see a team go through a rebuilding phase. And, you know, as I look at where the Fever are right now, and when you consider that all of these games are streamed and fans can watch every single game this year, you've had three straight drafts, drafting in the top three now. This really seems like the perfect time maybe for somebody that is listening that hasn't followed the Fever for a little bit to get on board. Would you agree? I mean, you guys finished the season so strong last year, and if you want to catch a team on its rise, to me this seems like the perfect time.
It is definitely the perfect time. And I think looking at a season like this, you can watch every single game, you know, whether it's on ESPN2 or watching you guys on feverbasketball.com. All of our games, like you said, will be streamed live. And the excitement, I am excited. When I go to practice and Ryan, you know, you can talk to our staff, you can talk to players. When I come in the gym, I'm like, let's go. Like, I'm excited about being there and watching this team go. You know, the youth that we have, the leadership that we have, the veteran leadership that we have. This is the time to step up. This is the time to be a part of it.
Well, 5 o'clock tonight against Washington, you tip off your season. Feverbasketball.com is where you can catch all the actions. Meek, I know you have a lot to do before you tip things off. We appreciate your time and we'll let you get to work.
Thank you, Pat. Let's go, Fever!
Thanks to Tamika Catchings joining us again. 5 o'clock tonight, feverbasketball.com is where you can catch the season opener. A perfect time to get on board with the Fever. We've got Jeremiah Johnson joining us live in just a little bit. Mark Monteith, Pacers.com writer, catches you up on some Pacers news when we return on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. The restart of Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome. I'm Pat Boylan. Joining us now, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. Let's get right into it, Mark. There's plenty to talk about and more than we have time. Let's start with Victor Oladipo. It's been an interesting up and down as it relates to him and his status for the bubble and the Pacers restart. What's the latest?
Well, things are still up in the air. Victor, of course, played in that first scrimmage on Thursday, and we had a chance to talk with him afterward, and I asked him about his status. You know, he had told us that he was going to try to play, and I wondered if he now was feeling like he was closer to committing to playing in the real games starting on August 1st. And he said, no, it's still a daily assessment. Reassessment to see where he is physically. So I think we're still wide open to that. It would seem like as long as he can get through these practices and scrimmages without a physical problem that he would play, but we'll just have to see.
Domantas Sabonis, on the other hand, has been dealing with plantar fasciitis, and the team announced yesterday that he is actually going to leave the bubble and get outside treatment. I know you've not had a chance to talk with him or Pacers head coach Nate McMillan since that announcement, but you have been following this story and his injury over the past couple of weeks. What are your thoughts knowing that he's likely not going to be there in the near future?
Yeah, you know, we were told that he wouldn't play in this first scrimmage, but it seemed like there was a chance to play in the later ones, including tomorrow's, but that obviously won't happen. You know, he's leaving the bubble to get treatment. Obviously, they don't have all the facilities that you would want in Orlando inside the bubble, so I can understand how he may have to leave it to get the absolute best treatment for it. Plantar fasciitis is a tricky thing. You know, I've seen Pacers have it over the years. I remember Austin Crozier had to deal with it during his time here. Other players have as well. it's really hard to predict how long it takes to get over it. The treatments at least used to be kind of uncertain. I don't know what they do for it now exactly, but it's one of those things that you really can't put a timetable on. So I wouldn't necessarily say he's out for the rest of the season, but he's obviously out for these final two scrimmages, and we'll just have to see. But it's an unusual type of injury, and it's a difficult one to treat, and it's an uncertain one as far as the timetable.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith is with us. We've got about a minute here, Mark. I know it's a bit challenging for someone in your position to not be able to be there in person right now, but with all the Zoom interviews we get to do and to have a Pacers basketball back, there's a lot of content and a lot of it coming from you coming over to Pacers.com soon.
Yeah, it's been interesting to cover the team this way. You know, it's frustrating in a way not to be able to really do follow-up questions at times, although at times we can, but the PR staff is doing the best job possible, certainly, and it's been great to have something, you know, every day that they practice or have a game, and there is a lot of content on Pacers.com. Celeste is embedded inside the bubble, providing video, other information, so I think that you'll find really just about everything you need as a fan or as a spectator regarding what's going on in Orlando right there on the website.
And that certainly includes your work as well. Go to Pacers.com to see the latest from Mark Monteith and the latest from the team. Mark, thank you, and I look forward to talking with you again here on Pacers Weekly and on the radio broadcast once those restart up when the regular season begins a week from today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pat.
All right, that's Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. We close out the show with Jeremiah Johnson next, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter. He's gearing up for the restart as well. We'll get JJ's thoughts next on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. We are back on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Joining us now is TV host and sideline reporter Jeremiah Johnson. I know you are chomping at the bit, JJ, to get back and get going here. It's a little odd to be calling you in July, I will admit, but why don't you give us an update on your life the last few months and when fans can catch you very soon on Fox Sports Indiana.
Pat, it is so good to be talking with you on Pacers Weekly. I thought this day would never come after the last few months. A lot of family time, and we've been experiencing a little bit of a return to normalcy in the last month or so. I've been either at a baseball or a basketball game while trying to keep our social distance priorities in line. So we've been doing that the last month or so, and just ready to get back to work. And you mentioned August. It'll be an extremely busy month for you. Not as much for me, but I still am looking forward to working in August when that is normally some time off. So happy to be talking with you, and also the Sideline Guys podcast every Wednesday.
Yes, sir. That has not gone away. JJ and the crew will be on Fox Sports Indiana starting with the regular season games a week from today. So that's exciting. It's so hard to predict, you know, really anything as it relates to the bubble. The Pacers are just saw Domantas Sabonis leave to get treatment on his foot. That's obviously a major challenge. What are your general expectations? Do you have any? It seems like, as you and I have done some of these interviews for Sideline Guys, talking with some of the players in the rotation, that everybody took this time seriously. We heard Chad Buchanan say a little bit earlier that he feels like, from a chemistry perspective, the Pacers are picking up where they left off.
I think so. I think the thing that around the NBA over the next month is to expect the unexpected. I don't know of any of the 22 teams that haven't experienced some kind of unexpected injury, or maybe a defection from the bubble, or perhaps a case of coronavirus in the last couple of months. Now, the good news is we haven't seen that inside the bubble, so that is working apparently. But everyone gets really upset about the news, or, you know, kind of freaks out a little bit about Domantas Sabonis leaving. And it's not a good thing, obviously. But let's just kind of pause just a little bit and say that maybe he's getting some treatment. Maybe he comes back. Regardless, whatever he is doing is in the best interest of his foot and his career. And moving forward, there are other teams that are going to have to deal with this as well. So this is not a normal situation. Everyone has a little bit of different perspective on how things might go. Expect the unexpected and then enjoy the action on the court, which I did enjoy on Thursday. And I look forward to August 1st being on the air with Eddie Gill for Pacers Live pregame. It'll feel just like normal in the Fox Loft, even if the team is many miles away.
We've got a little over a minute here, JJ. When you look at the team on the floor as well, we're still waiting, cautiously optimistic on Victor Oladipo, even if Sabonis misses a portion of the season. Malcolm Brogdon, I think, has looked really sharp in that scrimmage and will likely look very good. And a big opportunity for Miles Turner as well.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Turner doesn't have to share time if he's on the court and Sabonis is not with the team, so he plays the center. You think that the calf injury or just a knee to the calf, that's not a big deal. So he would presumably start at the five. And then, you know, they've got a lot of options of what they could do with the four position if Sabonis is out. Jakarr Sampson is a possibility. You could also have Justin Holiday without Sabonis in that second unit. And maybe the thing that I'm most interested in watching, because he plays so well with T.J. McConnell and Doug McDermott. And Nate really did a good job, I think, in February and March in mixing the minutes between Miles Turner and Sabonis. So they both primarily played time as the lone five on the court, and then they started and ended games together. So I'm looking forward to seeing the combinations. Maybe a guy like Edmund Sumner gets a little bit more of an opportunity at different times. And I think that in those eight seeding games, you don't want to overuse anybody. So you have lower minutes. You have more opportunity to, you know, try different combinations and also get some guys some experience and then be ready to go in mid-August for the playoffs. And I thought the court looked really good in that first game. And I think I can envision a playoff-like feel for some of these games that maybe I was a little worried about and apprehensive about when this idea was first launched.
Saturday, August 1st is the official opening night for the Pacers. We will talk to you next week. JJ, thanks for your time here on Pacers Weekly.
Pat, and good luck to you and the Fever today. Opening day for the Fever. Can't wait.
Yes, thank you very much, JJ. 5 o'clock tonight, Fever and Washington Mystics. You can catch that on feverbasketball.com. We're streaming most games over there. The Pacers will tip off their season, as we just discussed, Saturday, August 1st versus Philadelphia, Fox Sports Indiana, and right here on 1070 The Fan. That'll wrap it up for Pacers Weekly. A thanks to our producer, Eddie Garrison. I'm Pat Boylan. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.